Today's reading comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, and can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1216. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns the sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Thomas. Do keep your Bibles open to page 1216 in the Church Bibles, or if you've got your own Bible, keep that open to James chapter 5. Let's open ourselves in prayer. And before we do, actually, I think we ought to be praying for Philip Kai. He was supposed to be giving the reading this morning, but he is in hospital. And so actually, the passage we're looking at today actually has direct application to friends. So we're going to pray for Philip as well. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do lift up to you our brother Philip right now, who is in hospital and quite poorly. And Lord, we pray that you would heal his body, that you would make him well for your service. And Lord, we do lift him up to you right now, and we know that he is praying with us right now from a hospital bed. And so we lift him up to you. Today's passage from the Bible and the topic that we're looking today is so relevant because all of us, Lord, know someone who's been unwell. And all of us one day will be unwell. And we want to be people who are led by your word, and we want to be people who know how to care for one another. And so we pray that today you would give us wisdom. Lord, help me to be careful with my words today. Lord, guard us from the wide paths of doubt and presumption so that we may go down that narrow road of faith. And we pray that in all things our confidence would be in Christ, who promises healing to all who turn to him in faith. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, this morning we are starting our summer series entitled Four-Letter Words, where we're going to be looking at the Bible's take on a few controversial themes. So this summer we're going to look at things like how does God heal? And what do we do with worry and fear? What film should I watch? What should I post online? And my hope is that this series will provoke thought and discussion so that after church we'll be saying, oh gosh, what do you think about that? Huh, I haven't really given that thought. What does the Bible say about that? And I think it's okay to risk ruffling a few feathers if it means that in the end we have a better idea of what the Bible actually says and what the Bible demands of us. And this morning we're going to be answering the question, how does God heal? Now, to your average person on the street, the idea that God can heal us might seem just a throwback to the superstitions of the Middle Ages. Because for many people, particularly modern people today, healing only happens through modern medical science. And the assumption is that diseases always have material causes and that cures always come from advances in medical science and not from God. But you know, it's interestingly, many of these same scientific-minded people, as soon as they get unwell or as soon as a family member gets unwell, what do? They pray, don't they? Because instinctively we know that if there is a God, that he is by nature able to heal, that he is good. And for many Christians, we know that God is able to heal because indeed healing was a major aspect of Jesus' ministry. We see healings in the New Testament. Some of us have experienced situations where we have prayed and we believe that God has responded to our prayers. But for the Christian today, there is a question. Does God heal in the same way today as He did then? And if so, how does God heal us? And why is it that sometimes when we pray to be healed, we aren't? And depending on how you answer those questions will affect how you pray when someone is ill. And it will affect the expectations that you have with regard to God's promises when it comes to healing. So for instance, imagine that you are unwell and in hospital. And Christian friend A comes to visit you in hospital. And he prays that you would be comfortable. And he prays that the doctors and nurses would be make wise decisions. And he prays that the pillows are not too stiff. And he prays that in illness you would experience a closeness with the Lord. And he prays that the Lord would use your faithfulness in the midst of facing a difficult situation to bring other people to Christ. And he prays for a whole host of other things. But he avoids praying that you'd be healed, because he's fearful that God might not answer that prayer, that he might overstate God's promises in the Bible. And so he's hesitant to pray that you'd be healed. Whereas by contrast, imagine Christian friend B comes to visit you in the hospital and they demand healing from God. And they declare healing over you. And they expect that God will heal you physically. And with that expectation comes the suggestion that if healing doesn't come, well, you must not have had enough faith. Or there must be some hidden sin in your life that you haven't confessed yet. Or that maybe your prayers just were insufficiently prayed, that you didn't have the right oil, that you didn't have the right guru in front of you to pray. And that maybe you need help from someone who's specifically gifted with healing. Because Christian friend B can't possibly imagine a situation in which God might will that we're not physically healed. And so this question before us is a live one, isn't it? How does God heal? And to help us answer this question, we're going to be looking at James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And in this passage, first we'll see that we should pray for healing for those who are sick. Secondly, in this passage, we'll see that this passage teaches us that sickness presents an opportunity for mutual ministry, both for the sick person and for the well people who are praying for that sick person. And then thirdly, that God does promise healing, but that healing is a broader category than just physical healing. So let's get started by turning to verses 13 to 18, which says this: "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." As we read these verses, it's clear that the Bible broadly assumes that when we face troubles, particularly when we are unwell, that we should turn to the Lord in prayer. That God lifts up, raises up those who turn to Him. Now, there might be a discussion about what that means when James says God will raise up the person who turns to Him. But what is not in debate is that when we are in trouble, when we are sick, that turning to the Lord in prayer and inviting others to pray with us is a good thing. And that prayer is, in fact, effective. Because James doesn't hedge his bets here, does he? He assumes that turning to the Lord is a good thing. He assumes that inviting others into our pain is a good thing. He assumes that when we are unwell and we pray, that God will respond to our prayers. This is why James gives us the example of Elijah, who was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly, and God responded to his prayers in a miraculous way. James assumes that God answers prayers and that we should turn to the Lord when we're in trouble. And so broadly, as we think about this question, how does God heal? Turning to the Lord in prayer and inviting others to pray with us needs to be a part of the equation. And it's worth just remembering that when we have a discussion about healings and about how God heals, that this isn't just an academic exercise, is it? This isn't something that we just discuss in a vacuum, but rather what we're talking about is real people who are facing really difficult and oftentimes isolating situations that can be really discouraging. And in those difficult times, what a person needs is the care and the comfort that comes from God and His people. And so broadly, as we think about this question, how does God heal? Turning to the Lord in prayer and inviting others to pray with us and wanting to care for those who are unwell needs to be a part of the equation. This can't just be a hypothetical thing that we discuss. We need to actually be actively praying with one another. So practically, what does this mean? Well, firstly, I think that James is saying that when we're in trouble, we need to pray about it. So before we go and search on Google for a prognosis, or we talk to a friend who's had the same condition, or we seek the second opinion of that very clever consultant in London, we need to turn first to our Heavenly Father. When we face illness or any trouble for that matter, we need to turn to the Lord and tell Him about our struggles and give Him our burdens. And it is such a relief to give God our burdens. Because He is the one who can actually change what happens. And He cares about us more than all of those others combined. And God does heal people when they're unwell. God often heals people through conventional means, through the care of doctors and nurses and modern medical science. But also there are occasions when God does heal people miraculously. In fact, this church has people in it that would say, "I was very, very unwell. And the only reason I'm here today is because people were praying for me." I mean, we can name the people, couldn't we? I don't want to embarrass them, but we know who they are, don't we? And so when we are in trouble, we should pray. And as we turn to the Lord in prayer, we also need to turn to one another. This is why in verse 14, James says that when you're unwell, you should call the elders of the church to pray over you. And James mentions elders here because elders have a specific duty to pray for the church and to care for and serve the church. Of course, I think the general principle we could gather from this is that we should be praying with one another, shouldn't we? Not just in the good times, but also when things are not going well. You know, as we think about prayer, though, I think it is worth just noting that there is a danger that sometimes when someone is unwell, our British Reserve kicks in. Yeah, I've adopted that. Don't worry. You know the British Reserve? So, for instance, a friend is sent to hospital, and we anxiously wonder, should I call, should I visit, should I write a text message? Would visiting be an imposition? I mean, what if I show up and the family's all there, and it's just not the right, oh, God. Yeah? And the reason why we have these anxieties is because, of course, we want to be sensitive, particularly when it comes to respecting a friend's privacy, and that's not a bad thing. But prayer is always a right response when someone is unwell. Even if it's just a quick text message saying, "Hey, I don't know all the situation. I don't need to know that I'm praying." It makes a world of difference. God does respond to prayers. Therefore, we should be praying for one another. But also, if you are unwell, it's okay to ask people to pray, and you don't have to sanitize those prayers. You don't have to pretend everything is okay. I think it's completely acceptable when someone says, "Hey, how are you doing?" to say, "You know what? I feel pretty rubbish. I feel like God isn't even there, even though I know He is theologically. I know, don't worry, but I just feel like He's just not there. I'm depressed because I'm not getting better. I'm so unwell. I need help." It is completely acceptable to let your guard down and be vulnerable, to invite faithful, godly friends into painful situations. We must pray with one another when we're unwell. And there are those occasions when we're spiritually unwell. And that's when we especially need prayer. So, for instance, on those occasions when we're struggling to cope mentally because of difficulty at work or in family situations or just with a health situation. Or maybe when we're feeling spiritually defeated because of a bereavement or because life has proven to be quite burdensome. Or maybe when we are spiritually unwell because we've been weakened by sin in our lives, and as a result we've distanced ourselves from church because we've distanced ourselves from God. In those instances, when we are spiritually unwell and find it hard to believe anything, Jesus is saying to us, get help. Don't suffer on your own. Don't withdraw from your Christian friends and your church, but rather ask for help. Call the church leaders. Pray with someone. Invite someone else into your pain and believe in faith that Jesus can heal our sickness. He will lift up weak and weary Christians who turn to Him. He will save us in our weakness. So pray for those who are sick, both physically and spiritually. But also, James seems to be demonstrating that when someone is unwell, that sickness, that unwellness, presents an opportunity for gospel ministry. Let's read again from verse 14, which says this. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you, and you there is a plural you, so it's second person plural, you, may be healed. In these verses, James gives us a step-by-step instruction for what we should do when someone is either physically ill or maybe spiritually unwell. Specifically, that when someone is unwell, that this individual should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Don't get distracted by oil. The reason why oil is mentioned here is because oil was often used for medicinal purposes and anointing purposes. And so you don't need to be distracted by the oil. If you want to pray with people with oil or without oil, that's okay. But it was mainly for medicinal purposes. And along with prayer, it says that those who were gathered should confess their sins to one another as they pray for one another so that you, plural, may be healed. And as we read this, the obvious question is, why is James instructing us to confess our sins to one another? Why is that part of the equation? Is James suggesting that the person who is unwell did something sinful and then that's the reason why they're unwell? Now, of course, if we're talking about someone who is spiritually unwell, it may be that sin is a part of the equation, that confessing sin might be a very logical thing to do. And guess what? As one of the elders here at church, there have been occasions where I meet with someone who's spiritually not doing so hot. And actually, confession of sins is one of the key components to spiritual wellness. Turning to the Lord, confessing sins to the Lord, saying, Lord, I messed up in this way. I need to be right with you. That can bring all sorts of healing in those situations. And so it can be an important part of a restoration process. But what about when the problem is a physical illness? Why is James encouraging someone who is physically unwell to confess their sins? Now, I think that we do have to be careful here because I don't think that James is suggesting that when someone is sick, they must have done something specifically sinful that needs to be confessed before healing can occur. Because look at verse 16. James instructs that we, plural, are to confess our sins to one another. That the elders who are gathered are called to confess their sins too. So there's nothing here to indicate that the sick patient is specifically being targeted by illness because of some unconfessed sin. So what's going on here? Why are the elders and the sick person confessing their sins to one another? Well, I think that James is telling us to confess sins to one another when we pray for someone who is ill. Because when someone is ill, their weakness and their incapacity and their condition reminds us all that all of us are sick and weakened by sin. That without Christ, all of us are incapacitated by our sin, and that all of us need Jesus to save us. We need Jesus' power to overcome sin and death. We need Jesus to heal us from the deadly disease called sin. And so in those instances, when someone is unwell, illness presents an opportunity for ministry, an opportunity for the church to come to grips with our sin and our mortality and to remember the promises of the gospel that Jesus can save us from sin. He will raise up weak and weary Christians. So when I go to pray with an unwell friend, particularly when they're very unwell, it is an opportunity to minister to them and pray for their physical healing. But it's also an opportunity for all of us to reflect on our lives and our mortality. To recognize that our lives, as James puts it, are like flowers in the field that will pass away. That we are much more fragile than we let on. And it's an opportunity to recognize that our sin is worse than any physical disease, because sin is deadly in every instance. And the consequences of sin are eternal, and there is only one cure for sin. And that's turning to Christ in faith. And that is the good news, that Jesus defeated sin and death. He offers healing to all who turn to Him. He offers salvation to all who turn from sin and turn to Him in faith. And so when someone is unwell, there is an opportunity for us to reflect on these big truths. There's an opportunity for us to be self-reflective, to confess our sins. And there's an opportunity for mutual ministry and restoration. And I guess the application point here would be, don't miss the opportunity for ministry that comes when someone is unwell. Oftentimes we can just wish away illness, can't we? Illness, bad, don't touch, right? But actually, there's fabulous opportunities for ministry in the midst of quite difficult situations. When someone is unwell, don't miss the opportunity for ministry. Don't miss the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that Jesus offers healing and salvation and forgiveness and grace to all who turn to Him, that He can cure the deadly disease called sin, that He can save us into eternal life. And don't miss the opportunity for self-reflection, because when someone is unwell, particularly when they're very unwell, they will be more spiritually sensitive. And as a result, oftentimes, they will be more responsive and receptive to the good news of Jesus Christ. But also, when someone is unwell, all of us have an opportunity to be more sensitive. Whenever I go and visit someone in the hospital, it always humbles me. It always makes me go, gosh, my life is short. It always makes me self-reflective. It gives us an opportunity to be more open to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, to be more open to confessing sin, to be more open to receiving the grace of Jesus Christ. When someone is ill, James instructs us to pray with one another and to confess our sins to one another, because it's an opportunity for spiritual ministry and healing. So far, we've seen that when someone is unwell, we should pray with one another, that we should recognize that illness can be an opportunity for reflection and confession and restoration for ministry. But there's still an unanswered question that we do need to deal with, isn't there? There's that bigger question, which is that there are those times when we pray for someone to get better, and despite our prayers, they don't physically recover, that they are not physically healed. I've prayed for people to be healed, and their conditions have worsened. I've prayed for people to be healed, and they've died. And in those situations, we have to ask ourselves, does prayer actually work? Is God actually able to heal? And if it does, and if He is, then what went wrong? Now, some people will suggest that the problem is either the quality of the prayer being prayed or the quality of the person praying, or that maybe that the oil that was used was not the right kind of oil, or that someone didn't have enough faith. But, you know, none of these explanations are satisfactory. Because at the end of the day, none of us are completely faithful, none of us are completely righteous on our own, and yet when you put your faith in Christ, He declares that you are righteous. And so if a Christian prays in faith, he can be confident that God will not turn him away. And as for the oil, well, the word that James uses for oil in verse 14 is just the common word for oil. You don't have to go get special oil from Jerusalem, you can just get the, you know, olive oil on your kitchen sink. That's what you want to do. So there must be a more satisfactory answer. Because what James writes seems so frustratingly straightforward. In verses 13 and 14, it says, if anyone is sick, they should seek prayer. In verse 15, it says that the prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. And in verse 16, there seems to be a connection between healing and confessing sins. And so if verses 13 to 16 are true, which they are, by the way, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that sometimes we pray and sick people don't get better? Is there something wrong with our prayers? Worse yet, is there something wrong with us? Well, to help answer and understand verses 13 to 16, it's helpful for us to look closely at the words that James uses. And I don't do this a lot, but I think today it's worth doing. In these three verses, there are three words that are used that need closer look. The first word is the word sick in verses 14 and 15. The second word is the word well in verse 15. And the third word is the word healed in verse 16. Now let's look at our Bibles and start with the word sick in verses 14 and 15, which is actually two different words in the original language, in the original Greek, both of which can be used to describe physical illness and weakness, but also can be used to describe weakness in faith or spiritual weakness. Interchangeable. And in the New Testament, these words are used both ways. They're used to describe physical illness and also spiritual conditions. And so when James says in verse 14, if any of you is sick, he could be describing physical sickness or weakness, but he could also be describing a spiritual sickness, a spiritual weariness or weakness. And similarly, when we look at the word well in verse 15 and the word healed in verse 16, the word for well in verse 15 is literally the word saved. Okay? Which could have both physical and also spiritual meaning. And the word for healed in verse 16 is mostly used in the New Testament to describe physical healing, but it's also used in a few instances to describe a spiritual healing. And so as we think about the meaning of these words, it would be wise not to exclude either option, to broaden our understanding of what healing actually means. James is talking about sickness, but he understood that sickness goes beyond physical health, and that we can be very spiritually unwell, even when we are physically top-notch. And James is also talking, and James is talking about healing, but as a Christian, James knew that healing goes beyond just physical healing. Because for the Christian, our ultimate hope is not for healing in this life, is it? But rather, our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in spending eternity with Christ. Our hope is in the new creation where there is no sickness and no pain and no death. Which is why James can be so sure when he says that the prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. Because if you are a person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, God may physically heal you in this life. But he may not. But he will definitely heal you. And he will lift you up into eternal life when you put your faith in him. And so when faithful people pray for healing, we can be confident and hopeful that the sick person will rise again if they put their faith in Christ. So for instance, I visited a friend in hospital this week, so this is a live issue for me. And I prayed with this friend that God would miraculously heal their bodies. And I could pray that prayer with confidence, knowing that God does heal people miraculously, and he may choose to heal my friend's body here and now in this life. But I could also pray that prayer with confidence because my friend knows Jesus. And therefore, he will rise again, because there is no illness on this planet that has victory over Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the master physician who has defeated sin and death forever. Jesus rose from the grave, and when he returns, there will be no sickness. There will be no death. There will be only healing. And on that day, my friend and I will receive new resurrection bodies, and we will rise again. We will be healed. And I think it's important to recognize that God's ultimate goal goes beyond just physical healing in the here and now. Because at best, a physical healing in this life only lasts for a season. Whereas Jesus offers us a cure for life's most deadly disease. Jesus offers us freedom from sin. He offers us healing that lasts for eternity. Healing that is available when we turn to Him in faith. And so as we contemplate the question, how does God heal? The Bible says that God will respond to prayers prayed faithfully. That He will heal us completely. But the Bible has a much broader category and understanding of what it means to be healed. Because the Bible says that the main sickness that we have is sin. Sin is the root cause of every illness we have under the sun. The world we live in is fractured and distorted by sin. Sin's the reason why we die. But the good news is that there is a cure. Jesus died to set us free from sin. He offers us healing to all who put their faith in Him. He offers full restoration. He will save those who turn to Him. As we conclude this morning, in answering the question, how does God heal? The answer is that God heals when people turn to Him in prayer. And so we should pray with one another when we face troubles. The answer is that God brings healing and restoration when we reflect on our lives and confess our sins to one another. And so we should minister to one another and recognize the opportunities that come with sickness. And the answer is that God will save and lift up those who turn to Him in faith. Which means that sometimes when we pray, God will choose to heal us physically. But for the Christian, we have the wonderful promise that in Jesus we will be fully restored. We will be saved. He will raise us up. Our hope and our confidence is ultimately not in this life, but in resurrection life. Life that Jesus gives alone to all who put their faith in Him. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now we all know at least one person who's unwell. Someone who's facing trouble, someone who is spiritually weary. And so we pray for them to be healed. We pray that in Your gracious mercy You might restore them in body and in soul. And Lord, we pray this with confidence, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus defeated sin and death by the power of His blood. He cleansed us of sin and counted us as righteous, not by our works, but by His work on the cross. And all we have to do is put our faith in Him. And Lord, we believe the promise that the prayers prayed by a righteous man are powerful and effective. And so we pray that Your Son would intercede on our behalf, that He would save and lift up all who turn to Him in faith. And we pray this confidently because we know that the day will come when Your people will gather together with Christ. And on that day, there will be no more sickness and no more disease, only life and health for eternity. It's in Christ's name we pray.